Okay, good evening. Hello, Faith family. Greg Stevens, I'm with you. And it's time for your home group. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. We've got a really great program. How many of you stayed up and watched? I'm asking you, like, you're going to raise your hand. How many of you stayed up and watched election coverage last night? Wow, things are happening. And you want to keep your television or your computer, whatever you're watching, right here on Victory. We'll keep you up to date on election coverage in the spirit of faith. We'll keep you up with news breaks and programs like this. Rick Renner was just on. I mean, where do you get that? Mm-hmm. Only on Victory. All right, tonight's panel, Michelle is not with me. So before you write in and ask what I did with her, she is leading a missions trip right now in El Salvador. She has 30 high school students with her.
That's awesome.
And they are doing a missionary trip over their spring break in El Salvador. So she will be back in 2 weeks. But tonight, with me, the original gang. Dale Mock is here.
Hey, good to see you guys.
So welcome, Dale. Annette Taylor is here. Welcome, Annette. I've missed you.
Yes. Heard.
Missed Annette. Cynthia is here.
And I'm here. Yes. Oh, I am.
And also with us is Nanette Cortez. Welcome,
hi.
Annette. Okay. As we get going, before I give you what we're talking about, we've been doing this. This is, I guess, the fourth video. I did one video, which was the baseline video. It all started when we had, at the very beginning, the program that the producers decided we needed to have. I won't mention anybody's name, but her initials are Nanette. that we need to do something about eating healthy and making changes and all. And so here at the ministry, we've had this biggest winner challenge. Not the biggest loser, but the biggest winner challenge. And so I weighed in the first day, 223, I think, dropped 7 pounds. Last week, gained a pound.
Oh.
But today was weigh-in day.
Yeah.
How do you think I did?
You did great, right?
How do you know?
Oh, you look good.
Well, that's one guess. Reason. What
I
do
can
you
tell
think
you've lost
did?
Weight. You look slimmer.
Do I?
I'm a guess at 5 pounds.
You're guessing five?
Yeah.
Let's watch what happened today, and we'll Let's be right see. Back.
Okay, home group, here we are again. It's weigh-in day number 3, I guess. So I started Abigail, number 4, that's right. Abigail, come in. You were on the weight loss program we did on home group.
Yes.
I started out at 223.2, dropped to 215, and then last week, well, you saw it, I went up a half a
Not
pound.
Not even a pound, yes.
Well, still, I went up. All right, so let's see
so
what happens
today.
Okay, here we go. Now, for the record, Miracles on the Mountain, America Stands. I have not spent the time in the gym this week, but I've still tried to watch what I'm eating.
And that's
no
just
carbs,
as important.
No bread.
Mm-hmm. No
good.
Sugar.
Okay. All right.
Ready?
Oh, yeah. Everyone, let's give it a shot. Here we go. You ready? You ready? Okay, let's go.
Ready.
Here we go. And it's 2. Mark it. 213.8. So I went back down.
You went down 3 pounds.
3 pounds. Okay, so that's proof.
That's cool,
I didn't get in the gym at all.
Yes, it is. Congratulations.
And it's been long nights and everything else. But watching really diligently what I eat.
Mm-hmm.
I still drop.
Makes a difference, yes.
Still makes a difference. Okay, I hope you're doing it with us. We'll keep up the progress. I'll see what happens next week. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, so
Yay!
What do you think?
Good for you.
What are you changing?
You know, really, because I have not had the time. You know what the schedule's been like.
Oh, yeah.
To be in the gym. The week I was in the gym, I gained weight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's probably muscle.
Yeah.
You probably have a muscle.
Well, whatever. A lot of people gain a little weight when they first start working
but
out.
But the week that, this week, I've kept strict on the diet part.
And what's the diet? Is it keto or?
Kind of modified. I've just measured my portions.
Okay, so you reduce your calories.
And stop snacking.
No sugars.
And I've done away with bread and carbs and things like that. And
that'll make you lose it.
Want some pasta. Like, you, know, you can't imagine.
You're not going to die that
way. Married to an Italian. You know, what I'm saying?
Yes,
so anyway,
I
hope you're doing it with us and I hope you're keeping track. Some of you, I realize you probably don't care. But anyway, it's a great thing. There's 150 employees of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain Church that are doing this. And we're all doing it together. And we're all getting healthier. And a lot of people don't realize that Brother Copeland has a gym here, facility for us to use and our families to use. Every time somebody wants to say something bad about Brother Copeland, I tell them about that. We also have, and I want you to know this, we have a clinic here on the property.
Very good clinic.
And with staffed people that are nurses and doctors, and you can go into the clinic if you need to go in. And here's the thing. They're not just going to poke you, which they'll do. they'll pray with you.
Yes.
And agree with you.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's living right. It's living the Bible way. It's eating right. Mm-hmm. And we have nutritionists. And so we're getting healthy
around here. Do you feel better, Greg? You feel better?
Yeah, actually I do. And so here's the thing. We want you. You're our partners. You're covenant partners with this ministry. We want you healthy.
That's right.
We want you well. So join me. So it's proof. You can do it, guys.
Yep.
Even though you didn't get in the gym and you didn't, if you just stay consistent.
Well, what would it be? It'd be the law of cause and effect, right?
Okay. What is that? Tell me. Explain it.
So if you want the right effect, you have to start with the right cause. Mm-hmm. So I want to lose weight. So what caused me to gain weight? sugar.
Eating a whole bag of chips.
Right. So you just go with a
gallon of ice cream.
Yeah, you go with a different cause. Say, I know what caused this effect. Let's go with the opposite.
You know who's leading us in this?
Who?
Brother Copeland.
Yes.
He is disciplined.
He is.
I watched him doing push-ups on the stage, and I thought, all right, he's 83 years old, and he's doing push-ups. And I'm glad he didn't call me out there to do push-ups with him. This guy's got to get his act in gear. And so we're doing it. And I want you to join with us because we're talking about keeping your healing tonight.
That's right.
And this is part of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The natural side of this.
Yes.
We're going to talk some about the spiritual side as well. I've got the iPad. You can get your questions and comments with us. You can text us at 682. This is in the United States, 682-302-1301. 682-302-1301. If you're on Facebook, all you have to do is just type it in. It'll come directly to me right here. You can also email them at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Now, Billy Burke was just here at Eagle Mountain International Church with Miracles on the Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of you, since the healing power of God, we got testimonies.
Powerful.
Cataracts.
Powerful.
Right.
Falling off
of
people's eyes.
That was
that weren't in the, not in the room, but watching on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about how to keep your healing now that you've received it. And I want to show you a recap of Miracles on the Mountain. Watch this. We'll come right back.
And here we go. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle.
I don't know if you came to see a miracle or if you came to be a miracle. Are you ready to cooperate? Every need has been supplied.
My healing is already an accomplished fact. Come on, praise God for that.
Praise, move. See, hear, straighten up, be delivered, do what you couldn't do before.
Miracles was always intended to be the norm of Christianity. We are designed to function and operate in miracles.
I've made up my mind. I'm leaving with a miracle. Give him one more big God bless you. Come on, I believe.
You still have lumps. Is it still there? What do you think of that?
It's gone.
You're gonna walk without the cane.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me? The power.
Is your hernia still there?
Yes, sir.
How do you know? It's not there. I'm healed.
In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody make a praise.
Jehovah Rapha, healer. He always is the healer. He was the healer before there was a need for healing. Why? Because he's life.
Doctors told me they put metal all through it. They said it's cosmetics. You'll never use it again.
She didn't tell you that she had a cataract, but the darn thing's gone.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. May I ask you a question? Did you receive a healing or a miracle last weekend watching Billy Burke at EMIC? Have you already had a challenge to the fact that you are healed? Symptoms, maybe. I don't know what it is. Your thought life, somebody telling you, well, you don't look any different. No matter what you feel, you still have to believe that Jesus purchased your healing. Therefore, you're healed now,
yes.
Right now.
Yes.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, it says in 1 John 5:4. Sickness, disease, and failure belong to the world, but we're not of this world. And by holding fast to God's word, our faith overcomes what's in this world. Tonight, we're discussing it right here with you and with the panel on keeping your healing. Okay, how many of you on with us tonight have been healed?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have opportunity to lose that or to doubt it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
All right, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, I've had a couple. The first one was I had asthma really bad growing up as a kid. Used to have to take breathing machines, do all kinds of stuff. And my mom used to come in my room and pray with me all the time, and she'd stay up and just kind of kept feeding that word and feeding that word in me. And then when I became a teenager, one day I just said, I'm going to get my healing. And I just knew I was going to go down to church and I wasn't going to leave until I got my healing. And so I went down to the altar at the end of service, and I just took it and I received it. And then like a week later, I had another asthma attack. And I just said, no, I'm healed. The Lord healed me last week. I am healed. And it went away, and I never had another attack again.
So what about anybody else?
Well, with me, I jumped in, but you want to go first?
No.
Okay, so with me a few months ago.
You guys haven't been on a while. I've ever seen you.
Yeah, we're being polite.
We're being nice for now. So, go ahead, Dale.
A few months ago, we're coming back from Australia. So I'm on a plane for 24 hours. And so it pretty much threw my back out of whack. I get there, get a massage, everything. And so my back is jacked. And so I'm not sleeping the whole thing. You know, you come back and we're going to start the Victory-thon during that. So I'm working Victory-thon and my back is totally shifted. And I'm going to the chiropractor, doing this and doing that. And I come up to the Victory-thon. Gene sees me, Pastor Gene sees me. And he's like, Dale, what's going on? I said, man, I hurt my back. And he said, we'll take care of that. And he laid hands on me, right? Mm-hmm. And I used my faith, right? So I said, okay. That's my point of contact right there. I know I'm healed, right? But that was a point of contact with what had already been done for me in Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So my back kept hurting. So the next day I saw Gene. I said, Gene, I tell you, I took that seriously when you laid hands on me. He said, I'm glad you did. So I'm going home from work, going home. The Lord said, he said, you said you took that seriously. I said, yeah, Father, I took that seriously. At that point, I received my healing. Mm-hmm. He said, let me tell you what I said. Let me tell you what I take seriously. So he used the scripture with me. Mm. He said, I said, when hands are laid on you, you recover. He said, so what happened? I said, Lord, recovery started. Mm-hmm. So I'm recovering back to where I started, right? And so it was a pinched nerve. So then the Lord starts talking to me more. He said, you know, well, think about that word, recover. He says, I'm recovering your nerves so it's not shorting out anymore. And then I came over there and prayed for you.
You sure did.
You were going through it.
Whoa. He said, you recovered now.
Yes.
Okay, so the scripture says, when you pray, receive it now.
Receive it now.
So I received it, but it was a little later for the full manifestation of it came.
So you were in recovery.
But I would not sit down and play dead. I had to get up and go teach Bible college.
Right.
And I did it. And I was healed.
There you go. That's great. Now, listen, I want to clarify something. So, you know, I told you about Brother Copeland and what we do here about the clinic and the gym and all that, that's provided for the staff and employees. You can't, Joan, we're going to get in the car and we're going to Brother Copeland's clinic. It's not like that. It's for the employees and the staff.
So I, you said
yeah.
Just, yeah. I was thinking.
Did you think that?
I thought, wait.
So let me thank you again. Let me say it again. It's for the employees and staff. But I love that, the commitment, not only to feed us the word,
right,
but the natural side.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The natural and the supernatural coming together.
They come together. Yeah.
Is what
it's
it
important
is.
Working
we're encouraged
together.
To do that. Okay, your questions and comments and thoughts are coming in, and I encourage you to do so. The information is right there on the screen. You can text us at area code 682-302-1301. It's right there on the screen. You can use the email if you want to do that, or if you're on Facebook, go ahead and send this in. LB says this: how do I know if God is willing to heal?
Because His Word said so. If He's willing, and in fact, there was one incident where the guy said, if you're willing, he said, well, I'm willing, be healed.
That's right.
Well, if it's all through the Bible, I am the God that heals thee. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you can't pull that out of the Bible and then wonder, is he willing? What do you mean, is he willing? Yes, he's willing. Are you willing to take your healing? Are you willing to believe what the Word says?
So he would need to get some scripture, wouldn't he?
He would need scripture to stand on.
So what scripture would you give him that would say that he's already...
Well, so in Exodus,
if you read
the scripture in Exodus, I'm the Lord your God that heals thee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you read that in the Hebrew, it's a perpetual thing.
Healing. Mm-hmm.
I did heal you. I am healing you. I will heal you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He never stops.
Mm-mm. So that's like recovering constantly doing it.
See, here's the deal. It's covenant, Dale.
Yes.
Jesus bore the stripes...
And
in
that's the
back.
Scripture I always stand on.
What's
is
the scripture?
Isaiah 55. Yeah. By His stripes we were healed. 53,
so that's a done thing.
And now Peter's gonna come along and echo that.
Yeah. Right. Because what Jesus did for me was not in vain.
Right.
He didn't take that beating for no reason.
If that's covenant, and it is, it's the fulfillment of the covenant promise to Abraham.
Yes.
If that's covenant and Jesus did that, that means He will have to break His covenant to not heal people today.
Right.
That's right. The healing is as long as His everlasting covenant is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've got to know His will.
Right.
So if you don't know His will, you don't know what you have.
Yeah. You don't know what's been provided
for you. You don't know what's been provided for you. You're always running around thinking, what did I do to miss God? And God's saying, well, lay hold of what I did to fix you.
Right.
But saying what?
Right.
What you did to miss it, say what I did to fix it.
That's right. That's right.
But you have to know the plan of God, the will of God for your life. You can't comprehend it.
Now, I do want to tell you, there's resources you can get from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and we'll give you this information again at the end. You can go to kcm.org/realhelp for free healing. Resources for us, and we'll give you all that information. They'll have it up there for you as we go off today. I want to make sure that you know that.
Yeah.
But so it is His will to heal. He doesn't change. He said, "I'm the Lord your God, and I change not." He doesn't lie.
That's right.
So if he was healing then, He's still healing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God's a God of multiplication, right? So He's not multiplying death. There's nothing to multiply.
No,
you can't multiply a zero. So He only multiplies health. He multiplies redemption. And if you'll just say it, Adam lost it all, correct?
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
So Christ came back to redeem it all for all mankind, to bring him back to the original state that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam was perfect. He was whole.
Mm.
He was whole.
Now, our spirit man's whole. When you're born again, your spirit man's complete.
Right. Right.
Scripture
right.
says.
It's complete.
We've got that covenant. Pastor Terry said it this
good.
Way.
Wasn't that good?
It was sin on you. Yeah.
She was talking about sin.
She's talking about sin. But here's the thing. The covenant, sin was in us.
Yes.
In our spirit, the real us.
Mm-hmm.
And once we were born again, it was out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it can't come back in you.
No.
It comes upon you.
Right.
And so, it's the same thing. If that worked for sin, then that works for healing.
Right.
Yep.
Sin, death was in me.
Right.
Yes.
Now I'm alive. Now sin or sickness will try to come on me.
Yes.
But it can't come in you.
Right.
Right.
Not in your spirit. It can only come upon you.
Your flesh.
In right. your members, on your flesh.
Well, here's the scripture for that, Greg. It says, the one that's born of God cannot sin.
Okay.
So that born again spirit.
That messes a lot of people.
And that born again spirit never sins.
Yeah.
It never sins.
Yeah,
and that's where sickness is. If you can't have sickness in your spirit.
In your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. It cannot sin. It can't mess up. It's redeemed.
So you got to get your spirit to start talking to your body.
Yes,
and yeah, through your mind.
That's why you have to all have all three parts working.
Working
together.
All three parts have to work in harmony.
Well, because, you know why you do? Because your spirit and your if you can get your spirit and your soul lined up, it gangs up on your body. Brother Copeland said that forever. Right. You are the establishing witness. What are you bringing? What are you believing and bringing to yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody sneezes, you say, oh, my Lord, you sneezed. I might catch a cold. Well, you might catch a cold if that's the way you talk. Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of what she did.
Mm-hmm.
You made a decision in your spirit, man.
Yes, I did.
Said, this is the way it's going to be.
Yep.
I'm going to take my body down here to the church,
to the altar,
and I'm going to pick it up, and we're going to leave with it.
Yep. You're the establishing witness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me give you two examples.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I was once, I guess, in a routine exam, and I was sent for further in, you know, just to check further, and they said I had gallstones.
Okay.
So then they wanted me to go to see another doctor, and this doctor, I go in, and he says, well, do you have this symptom? No. Do you have this symptom? No. But do you get this? No. Well, I still want to operate. And I thought, no. Because I had nothing that said that I had this problem. And I just decided, well, if I'm not feeling any of this, I'm not hurting. I'm not, I mean, none of the symptoms. And I just decided, he said, well, I want to see you again. I never went back to him. I've never had a problem with my gallbladder. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, you remember 5.5 years ago in South Carolina, and my husband had come in and said, Dale, pray for me when you all were at that meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
You prayed for him. You called him healed. You walked away and turned around and looked at him and said, Jody, you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah. And I called
And
an
he
ambulance.
Said, yeah, I think I do. And you called an ambulance.
Yeah.
So having that wisdom to know that, wait a minute,
spirit, this, soul, and body. We got to take care of all
We got to take care of this. This look, the Spirit of God let you know that this there was more to this.
Yes.
And then he had to go. And, of course, it was a heart attack. And, yes, we left with all these medications. And it wasn't because sometimes people get mixed up with this stuff. And they decided, well, I'm healed. I'm healed. Most of the time it's fear. Right. I'm healed and I'm not going to do this. And I'm not going to. Oh, no, I'm just healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. And we bury you. Because you're running around saying you're healed and you didn't take care of stuff.
Right.
And so, yes, he had to do that at that time. Fast forward to now, and it didn't even take this long, but fast forward to now, he's not on any medication.
Isn't that great?
And he's 75 pounds lighter.
So he's doing the natural thing too.
So he went and did, he came
the
home.
Body. Yeah,
and this is when Pastor Greg talking about keeping your healing.
Right.
People don't keep their healing because they get healed. And they think that has now given them the license to go back and eat and do everything that they always did that got them into that.
I want to go into a little bit of that in just a moment. Diane, I want to get to this clip right here. Diana, this goes, Diane, I'm sorry. This goes right to your question. How do you handle people who want to bring you down and say everyone does not get healed? Well, I'm going to let Gloria Copeland answer you. Jesus told Jairus to only believe, to not listen to what people were saying, just to keep on believing. Only believe. He didn't want to give Jairus the opportunity or the chance to change his words. Jesus is always willing to heal.
That's right.
Because it's his will. Gloria Copeland, we'll be right back.
I didn't tell you about Jairus. He did exactly what Jairus said. He went to the house, he laid his hands on her, and he called, and meantime, this is important. After he dealt with the woman with issue of blood, messengers came and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your little daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. And it says immediately in the Amplified Bible, immediately Jesus turned and said to Jairus, only believe. Just keep believing. Don't be moved, in other words. Just before, it says before, immediately, as soon as. I mean, before Jairus could say, well, that's okay, Lord, I appreciate your effort, I appreciate your thought, but my daughter is dead. Before Jairus could say a word, Jesus stopped him and said, just keep on believing, keep believing, just believe, only believe, only believe. And then he went to that place, he did what Jairus asked him to do, he laid hands on her, commanded her to come back. Little girl, I say unto you, arise. She came back from the dead. But he didn't give Jairus a chance to change his words. Isn't that something? I mean, God, Jesus was so easy to receive from. He was a representative of God the Father. And you will never find him telling anybody, no, you don't deserve this. You have to stay sick. No, he was always willing. Even in Nazareth, where they didn't receive him, he laid hands on people. And it said a few people, sickly people or people with minor ailments were healed. He was always willing to give, to let people be healed because it was the Father's will. God is a good God.
Now that was a key phrase that she said right there. He laid his hands on a few sick people. Not everybody received it. So we've got a lot of your questions that have come in concerning that. Here's, if healing came into the world with Jesus' sacrifice, then why doesn't everyone we pray for believe and show manifested evidence? Because it's not about you. It's about them.
That's right.
He dealt with people differently based upon where they were.
Every person
on their
dealt
belief.
With different.
Mm-hmm.
Every person.
Now, I see some things. You have to know that the healing power of God is at work.
That's right. That's right.
You have to have faith for that.
Yeah.
That it's in at work in my body right now.
We can't control what anybody's thinking. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I know of situations even with that. I have seen people firsthand. I remember a young lady in her 20s. And in church, she said all the right things. And she, I'm healed. And she had cancer, and this thing had started to spread around her body. And I'm healed. And she did all of the right things. And everybody said, she's in faith. You don't know what's inside of a person. I mean, later on, I found out she went outside in the parking lot, sat in the car and told her sister-in-law, when I die, take care of the kids. So what was really in her? We can't pray past what somebody else feels, a person's will. We cannot pray past that will. So a lot of times, you know, and I've had people ask me, well, I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand. They were believing God. You don't know what they were believing.
Right.
No, you don't. Yeah.
And later on, we found out that she had said from a little girl, I will not live long. I'm going to die young. She set that in motion. She set it in motion. Years before. I remember Brother Hagin talking about that
in
the Authorities of the Believer. Yeah. And in the expanded edition, he talks about that. Well, the Lord said, he's has to come home. He's already put this in motion.
Yeah.
And he can't change this now.
I watched him pray that way. And he'd say, Lord, is there any way I can change this? Can this be changed?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he would say this. He'd say, in one instance I'm thinking about, I see that now. He's talking with the Lord. We're not hearing it. He says, I see that now. It's already a law in motion. He said, I won't touch it again in my thought life. You know, and he began to pray differently.
Right.
So that's a key right there, Greg, that I see with Jesus Christ. He said, you know, I don't say anything or do anything unless the Father directs me to.
Yeah. Right.
So with me, with healing in my life, right, it's a process that me and Jesus work out. So I see Jesus working different with each person in the Word, right? So I come into situations, you know, with things, and I say, Lord, I'm ready to do something about this. How do you want to do it? And every time that it's been a healing like that, every one of those instances, he's given me a different direction and a different way of doing it. The Lord wants to be involved with this thing.
Yeah, he does.
He wants you to hear his voice because when you hear his voice, faith comes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I surely heard God's voice in this, this, and this. And I've had manifestations like that.
Yeah, and you have to learn to be quiet and listen to his voice.
Yes.
You know, because if you're doing all the talking to the one that knows everything, you're just getting, you're not going anywhere.
You know what you know.
You know what you know. But if you'll listen, he'll show you what to do.
I think part of, too, when, you're talking about when how come somebody doesn't receive a healing. Well, sometimes that has to do with that person themselves as well. Because I remember, because we were talking a while ago about one of the healings I'd received from one leg being longer than the other. Mm-hmm. I was an associate pastor at that church at the time when there was a revival going on, and it was pride in me that I wouldn't go get prayed for because I didn't want people to see, oh, there's something wrong. And towards the end of the service, the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't go down there, you're going to miss what I have for you. And because I was listening and I heard him so clearly, I was like, But up until that point, it was something in me that I couldn't receive it.
I want to jump in there. I remember, and I won't call the man's name. I remember a man in a meeting, and Brother Copeland, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's praying for people. All of a sudden, he turned to the man and said, you want to be free, you want to be healed, you want to be whole, get up here right now, come here. Mm-hmm. And the man pulled away and shook his head and pulled away. And I thought, I remember looking at that man, and everybody was believing for him. Mm-hmm. I remember looking at that man thinking, he's going home.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You think he may already made a decision?
I don't know if he had made the decision, but by that decision, because there was an unction, there was an anointing, right. there was something happening right now. He needed, the water was troubled.
Oh. Right.
And he had been called to step in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it.
You missed that opportunity.
And if it's the one I'm thinking about, because I remember that happening.
You remember
if
that
it's
service?
The one that I'm thinking about, that person actually said, no, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. God's already done it. And I thought, whoa, you're about to get your casket, bro.
Well, it makes me think about the who was it that came to the prophet? And the prophet said, go down the river and dip seven times.
Yeah.
Or he didn't even want to do it.
Right, sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like he told you to go down front. That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you
and I
you
obeyed,
learn to
and
obey
boom,
and
I received that healing.
Right, like
I
that.
Mean, yes. My legs are up, my back straightened up.
I don't want to stop eating donuts.
Right.
I mean, on the crew last night, they brought in a whole bunch of donuts, and there was this... Oh,
talking to you, huh?
One that was there.
And so I walked through before we went on the air, and somebody showed me, Greg, Pastor Greg, look at this. And I went, get thee behind me and don't push. You know, I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I wanted that thing.
Right.
Listen, I don't want to do that.
Your sales.
But I have to do that.
Yeah.
Have to. Exactly.
I have to do that.
That's again.
I'm not telling you what you have to do.
Spirit.
I'm telling you what I have to do.
Right.
Right.
And so if I don't do that, I'm going to be in trouble. I know what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what my husband. He knew what he had to do. Now you tell an Italian not to eat pasta.
No. Lord.
I mean, and he's married to a girl who has a Caribbean background. We eat rice, he eats pasta. Both things
are
things that we had to get off of. But when he was faced with what he was faced with, and he came home, and at that time his sugar was over 400. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was dangerous.
That's right.
He had to give himself a shot in the morning, one before every meal. He said, oh, no, I'm not living like this. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't mean you stop doing that.
No, we're not telling you. We're not diagnosing you.
He did not do that.
Yeah.
What he did was get out everything, start researching. Mm-hmm. And he found out, okay, these are carbs. They turn to sugar. Sugar is sugar. I got to get rid of the sugar.
He started taking
and
the steps.
He started to take the steps and eating differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's a lot of schools of thought in how you're going to eat. So I'm not going to tell anybody how to eat.
Right.
But I know what he had to do. Well, he was off of those insulin shots within a few months.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have to walk past it? Yes, I have to walk past the donuts, too. Now, I've lost weight. People see me losing. I did not do a special diet. Well, there's no carbs in the house, so I guess I'm doing, you know. But what I started doing was intermittent fasting. Because you're giving your body all of that time.
Oh, you're taking that stress off your body.
You take the stress off your body. And so I eat when he comes home, I eat. And I eat maybe for those few hours. And then in the morning is basically my tea with my moringa in it and sour sap in it. I have a little tea like that.
I don't even know what that is.
And moringa is very good for you. But anyway, that's a whole thing.
Okay.
But, it's green and all of that. But That's what I have in the morning. Maybe I really like Mandarin, so I might have that. Not much else, and really hardly eating anything until at afternoon.
So I weighed in today, and one of the, you know, we have a chef here and some, where I'm at, it's not the full kitchen, like down the hill here. And I walk by, and I look out there, and one of my, Dale, one of my things that is just a, it, to me, it's just a woo moment.
Yeah.
Chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes, gravy, and corn. Yeah. And I walk by, and I look at
every
that.
Every bit of it's bad.
I looked at that, and I went and grabbed Abigail. I go, come here, tell me what any of that right there I can have. And she says, well, you know.
You know what helps me make a decision on that?
But I went and got help. That's what. That's the point. Yeah. They were over there still weighing people. And I said, come here, talk to me. And she talked me down.
Yeah.
You know, off of, because I was ready to go. I'm like, hey, I lost 10 pounds. I am treating myself today.
You treat too soon.
I got a whole week before next Wednesday.
When that talks to me, I always talk to myself. And I say, I know how this makes me feel. I know I'm not going to feel good an hour from now. We go to a kinesiologist. So I was talking to him about it. And he teaches me a lot about food. I said, so why do I fall asleep when I eat these things? Right? He says, you only have so much energy in your body. He says, you only have so much energy. So you're like a battery.
Okay.
He says, so when you add something that stresses your body, then it has to take...
It's like adding the load to it.
So like if I eat bread, I'm stressing my body. Mm-hmm. So my body's energy has to take and spend energy to get the poison out.
Hmm. Did you say bread's poison?
It affects...
Go ahead.
So he explained it as poison. He said anything that affects you that way, see it as poison.
This is called living a fasted life.
Right. So it's great for me because I immediately feel these things that put stress on my body. And I want to keep energy, and you want to keep not stress your body. Mm-hmm. You want to keep energy in your body because the leftover energy that you have that you're not burning to get rid of the poison that you just took, it takes that energy and repairs your body. It's repairing your body at the same time. So if you're stressing it, it's not repairing.
You go down the Lay's potato chip aisle, you just don't go. If you go down, you go, no.
So, somebody, you guys all sound like Kenneth Copeland. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, guilty. We had a friend, a guy that we do our Bible study with. He was going to give up bacon. Remember this story?
Oh, yeah.
He was going to give up bacon, and he's chef. So he decides he'll go get breakfast, and so he goes over there and he puts eggs on. He reaches over there, picks that piece of bacon up, and he said, "Put that down."
Yeah.
People looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I said I wasn't going to eat that bacon." So he told himself, "Put that down."
Yeah.
And he didn't eat the bacon.
Because we train ourselves, don't we? Okay, so many questions and comments. I want to get to as many as we can. Apologize, I'm delayed on getting to these. Information's on the screen, how you can contact us if you're listening on radio. You can text your question, 682-302-1301, 682-302-1301, or ask home group at govictory.com. If you're on Facebook, just type it in and we'll get directly to it. Let's see. Here's a recovery started. Earlene, thank you. Recovery started last week watching your worship service. I believe I received complete healing, no pain in my neck. Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
We agree
praise
with
the
you.
Lord.
Is there a practical illustration to describe precisely what this means? I think we're talking about how to keep your healing. I think so.
Well, I think I just did that.
Here, let me. When we were going to do this broadcast, the Lord said, he said, give them this practical thing. He said, how do you stay clean? You take a bath every day, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How do you stay married? You treat your wife right. So you're constantly doing these things over and over and over again. So you're washing yourself in the Word, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to stay clean, here you go. In order to stay clean, or to keep your health, you have to do healthy things every day. So through, like Sister Copeland says, she says, through consistency lies the power. So if you say, okay, these are the results that I want, it's going to take, these are the effect that I want, this is what, or this is the cause that I'm going to have to put in place to achieve that effect.
Well, it's lifestyle change.
It's lifestyle every day.
It's not a diet. Diets work and you lose weight and you go back and you gain the weight.
Well, it's just, we're talking health too. Just complete health.
You need to know what to do for health. And as you become more interesting in age, you have to really look at your health differently. Mm-hmm. What you could process at 15 and 20, you cannot process at 60. You just can't. And you have to look at that and go like, yeah, well, I can't eat that bag of whatever.
Joe's changed his diet completely.
Totally.
You know what I learned in that week I gained a half a pound? Because I had been at the gym on that one. Still eating the same way, but been at the gym. And I said, what happened? You know, cause, and you do not do that when the pain starts or the symptom hits. Well, what happened? Right. Here's what they told me. She asked me, first of all, about how I've been sleeping.
Yeah, that's true.
And then she asked me about stress. Mm-hmm. Because stress will keep weight on your body. Mm-hmm. Your body goes into preservation mode. Mm-hmm. And decides it's going to protect itself. And I realized that's the area
even
that I'm doing.
Even though those were great services and everything, you know, we had Miracles on the Mountain. When you have a week like that, or Southwest Believers, your body, you're going, you're not sleeping properly. Because you're right back at church the next morning, or you got another session, or something else is going on, and you're going, and your body's stressed.
Well, makes me think about Jesus after he got praying with the 5,000. Where'd he head to next?
He went to
the mountain.
We actually have a clip with Creflo Dollar that does. He gives
you're
a good
being
example.
The producer again.
I am being producer, but he does a great example of. What to do to hold.
Do you know the clip number?
I think it's clip 7.
Why don't you just pitch to it? Right there. You get to be me for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Watch this clip. It's with Creflo Dollar. I believe it's clip 7. And he does a great explanation of what to do spiritually to be holding on to your healing.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Understand spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 and 10, understand that the warfare is a spiritual warfare. And a lot of Christians don't understand a spiritual warfare. It is not you going and finding the devil to put him in a headlock. Here's how spiritual warfare works when you're fighting. It is what you established up there in step one in your foundation. By his stripes I were healed. Now here's spiritual warfare. You're holding on to, I'm healed. You're holding on to, it's a done deal, it's finished, I'm healed. This is not up for negotiations, I am healed. Now, the warfare is holding on to that. Because the enemy is now going to try to come to take your healing. He'll use symptoms. He'll use, I see more on the x-ray. He'll use the thoughts. And your job is to maintain healing in the midst of everything around you, trying to take it, trying to change your mind. No, I'm healed. No. Well, yeah. Oh, it spread it to this thing. I mean, it freaked me out. Find out they're talking about, there was one old lady shed in tears when I got out of that big old tank. And they said, it done spread to her spine. Oh, it spread. And you don't let something somebody saw. Yes. It was trying to steal what I already had.
Yes.
And by the time I got to the car, the theater over there, I told the doc what they said. He said, I don't pay no attention to that. That ain't, you ain't got to worry about that for a long time. I said, is it or isn't it? He said, I don't pay no attention to that. And I'm thinking, that is a weapon. That's a dart. That's a dart. He's trying to plant that in my head to keep working against me. And my job is, no, I'm healed. Yes. See, Satan will send symptoms, bad reports, more symptoms, to try to convince you, no, you're not. The warfare is, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. You're not. Yes. That's the spiritual warfare. It's like a tug of war. But your tug of war looks like this. And he's trying to pull up. You're like, I ain't moving. And he's trying to, no, I ain't moving. And you might get a big hit one day. And then after a while you get mad. Is that all you got? Come on, baby. Come on, bring it on. I ain't changing my mind. I believe what Jesus did. I believe it's a done deal. I ain't walking out of this spot. I'm staying here, praise God. I'm not calling our faith in off the field. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'll shout it to the mountaintop. I am not gonna move. I fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Which means it is finished. I'm done.
Now that is a good word right there. Amen. That is resisting the devil. Yeah. You're not fighting him yourself. Just standing in your place and your authority is resisting. One of the things you have to do to maintain your healing is hold fast.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
Scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. Mm-hmm. Is healing good?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So you got to hold fast to it. You got to hold on to it. Revelation 3:11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to that which you have. So we have it.
Yes.
Right.
We're not trying to get it. Listen.
That's right.
You're not the sick trying to get healed. Hey, you're the healed.
Yes.
That's not going to get sick.
It's and right. If he didn't say hold fast, you know, you're holding fast because there's an enemy out there trying to take it from you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you have
so let me say that again because it goes exactly what you're saying. Yep. You're not sick trying to get healed.
Right.
You're the healed that the devil wants to make sick. Right. You got to see yourself as the healed that the devil wants to make sick.
Yes.
And I'm just going to refuse him. Listen, if he was trying to do that to your little baby.
Yes.
You will. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bad guys trying to get in to harm your child. Yeah. Oh, it's on.
It's the power of having, Greg. What does it say in the scripture? Jesus Christ said that he said, those that have, they shall have more.
Mm.
So that's what the Lord ministers to me. He says, Dale, you're going to have this. So if you have it, you're holding fast to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I have this pellet, try to get away from me. No, I have this.
Yes.
I be healed. Yes. I am healed. I have healing.
Yes.
He said, if you have it, you'll have more. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and you'll have more. I came to give you more abundantly.
Yeah.
So
a whole bunch more.
We're going to start preaching here a little bit.
That's okay.
Can you feel having right now?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And so you got to get free from the fear of it.
Yes, you're going to have to have it. Yep. You have it down in here.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, I know the best thing that can happen.
So I'm either going to walk in the miracle or I'm going to go to heaven.
Right.
Either way, I win.
Right. Well, that's true.
Right.
So I'm not in fear in this thing anymore.
So
the question is, how do I pray for a dying person? Artie wrote that in.
I was going somewhere else. Okay,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Genesis 4:10 talks about the blood of Abel speaking to God. Hebrews 11:4 tells us that the blood still speaks.
Yes.
So if the blood of Abel still speaks today, then certainly the blood of Jesus
speaks
today. Mm-hmm. So when it says, I am the blood of healing, I am in you right now, imparting life and health to all your flesh. Yeah. I say disease cannot stand in my presence, the presence of the blood.
That's right.
Evil spirits and darkness flee from me. I say you are a vessel of God containing the treasure of divine life. I will restore health unto thee and I will heal thee of thy wounds. The blood of Jesus.
The blood.
Mm. The blood speaks.
That's covenant. Last night, Hank Kuhneman was on with us at the close of America Stands.
Yeah.
He said something. The Lord spoke to him and showed him something years ago. And it's when the former president lit, the Supreme Court made a ruling, and they lit the White House up rainbow for a certain kind of lifestyle. And Hank asked the Lord about that, and the Lord answered him. The Father answered him. I'll tell you how I felt about that. I'll tell you what I did about that. how I felt about it. Mm. And he's expecting some deep thing. He said, I turned and looked at the mercy seat at the blood.
Wow.
Yes.
He goes, that's how I felt about it. I looked at the blood. Listen, he looks at the blood where you're concerned. If you've been washed in the blood, if you're born again, he sees the blood. The blood has been applied to you. Now, now the enemy is trying to get sickness back on you. Here's another key thing. I noticed something. I like to pay attention to details, Dale, in the Word of God. I study Jesus. I'm a disciple.
Yes.
If he had, in the year 2020 now,
right?
If he had disciples on the earth, I'm one of them.
You'd be one of them.
I am one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I confess that over myself all the time.
Yeah.
People say, we need your bio. Here it is. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Everything else is commentary.
I'm taught a little.
Wait a minute. So I got something for this thing.
Okay, we're coming to it.
I think so.
You need, listen to this. Jesus gave him instructions. Go show yourself to the priest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The guy who was healed at the beautiful gate, he went to the temple. I'm starting to see a pattern. If you wanted to find Jesus on the Sabbath day, he's in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. You need to go to church.
Oh, boy, you need a pastor, Greg.
You need a pastor, Dale.
You do. I need a pastor.
If you're, listen, if
well, you need a man of God.
You do.
Or a woman, woman of God. If you're, if you're struggling with your healing, and here's the other thing, you got to be in a church that believes it.
Yeah.
It's not going to tell you. It's God's will. God gave you that so that, I heard, I had a guy tell me one time, I broke my leg. I witnessed to the guy in the hospital next to me because I broke my leg. Mm. And I know that God allowed me to break my leg so that I would witness to that guy.
That's foolish.
And I'm like, you ding-a-ling, you could have witnessed to anybody in the hospital.
You can go to the hospital any day.
Any day and witness to somebody. Now, I'm going to break your leg. All right, go to that. Go to. How do I pray for somebody that's dying?
Well, you know something? When I was on the prayer line, and I remember a woman calling and saying, well, Brother Copeland says you can live for 120 years. I said, well, the Bible says so, yes. And my mother's not living, and I'm saying she's going to live 120 years, and she's just carrying on. I said, what does your mother want?
Right.
I said, what does she want? I said, so every time she tells you that she's ready to go, you're telling her she's going to live to 120 years. I said, have you let her speak to you? Maybe she has something to say. Maybe she has something to impart. And the woman said, I never thought of that. I said, talk to her. Let her speak. But the same blood we're talking about, the blood of the blood of the eternal life.
Yeah.
I say you have nothing to fear in death.
Right.
You passed into life when you trusted me. You will someday simply step out of this place and into another. Yes. I assure that you have nothing to dread on that day.
Yes.
That's what the blood
says. What you just said right there, a verse rose up in me when you talked about listening to mom instead of what she's saying.
Yeah. Right.
The scripture said, Jesus said this, all things are possible to him that believes.
Yes.
Right. I can't believe it for you.
Right.
Right.
All things, and you don't have to believe for me. You can believe. What are you believing for, Dale?
What am I believing for?
Yeah. What's one thing you're believing for?
My house.
Your house. Mm-hmm. What are you believing
for? I'm believing for your house.
No,
there's certain things in my future.
Annette, what do you believe for?
I'm believing for complete health and healing.
Really? Okay, good.
You believe in for anything? You got a faith project?
I do.
Okay, you don't have to say it.
Yeah, I didn't say
it. Here's the thing.
Either.
You don't need me to agree with
that's
you for
right.
that.
That's right. Right.
All just, things are possible to him. I may not have faith for your house.
Right.
I might think, oh, Cynthia don't need that house. She needs that house.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
But it's not, you're receiving that is not incumbent upon me.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Copeland, tell you, Miss Gloria believed for that house.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Sarah herself received strength to conceive because she judged him faithful,
judged
that promise.
Him faithful, yes.
That
yes.
promise.
I like what Billy Burke said this week. He said, you're the only one that can take the pill. I can't take the pill for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only
exactly
one
right.
You're the only one that can swallow this. Mm-hmm. You're the only one that can believe this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll use our faith with you, but you're the one that's got to swallow the pill.
What you want to make sure is, if that person is on their deathbed, you make sure that they are where they're going. That's what they. That's the most important thing when they're on their deathbed.
That's right.
Where you going? So we got to make sure where you're going. I mean, we just had someone in church that passed, and I just looked at her and I said, listen to me. If Jesus don't walk through the room, pick your hand up and get out of here, you're going home to see him tonight.
Yeah.
Look at me. This is what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get that straight.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want to do? Do you want this or this? Because I'm going to sign something for you in either way. And then I had to say, and I will take care of your child.
Wow. All
and
right.
That's how we
here we go.
That.
Here we go. Text, please help. Exclamation point. Please help. How do I stop being an emotional eater?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
All right. So
we have very little time.
All right. So all of your actions are based in beliefs. Okay. So you believe something. So you're going to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, what do I believe and why am I performing this way? If you believe that this is curing your problem, you're always going to eat it. All right. So if you want to change your actions, you got to change your belief, because everything comes out of your heart. Everything comes out of your belief system. Yeah. Your whole body, everything about you comes out of your heart. So if you want to change something, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I believing? He'll tell you what you're believing, and then ask him for something new to believe, okay?
In Romans 12, totally 1 and 2.
You have that's control over your...
Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Yep.
Over your mind, will, and emotions.
And
okay.
He'll speak to her individually and show her how, if she'll ask him.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. He'll give you new belief.
Here's this came in. Listen to this one. This is Henry. I got to yours here. My wife and I are residing at the epicenter of the coronavirus in China, and we're believing and trusting for God's divine protection.
No plague.
So, Henry, we agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you need to know something. The president of this country, I believe, prophesied.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's going to, I don't remember the exact words, it's going to come to nothing. It's going to be a miracle.
Yes.
And it's going to end. And you need to know that the believers in America and around the world right now are agreeing with you from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle. Henry, we're agreeing with you for divine protection. Yes. Psalm 91.
91. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000
no
at your right
calamity,
hand.
And no calamity and no terror by night.
Near your dwelling.
Okay, right. We have got just a short time. Dale, I want to thank you for being with us. Annette, Cynthia, and Nanette, we want to thank you. Final thoughts. Jesus paid the price for you to be healed, and he gets no glory when any of his children live less than the life of health that he provided for his own in his own body. Healing belongs to every child of God, because you have a covenant of healing. He'll never break or revoke his covenant. And it's your right to live in health every day the rest of your life just because you're in the family of God. It's important that you attend a church with a pastor who teaches on the subject of healing. Go back and look at the archives of EMIC and you'll see what I'm talking about. Know this, God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus
is Lord.
See you next week.